Radio GN et on reçoit aujourd'hui Peter. Maybe you can help us to pronounce your name.
Peter Montecouche.
Okay, hi. So yesterday at the Génial, you came to make a conference about the workshops. So could you explain us what is a workshop and what are they used for?
Mm-hmm. Well, pre-lab workshops is it's not new in the Nordic countries, but there's a new school of workshopping coming from Denmark, where we work with mainly using the workshop as the tool for designing the game. So pre-lab workshops is firstly a way of communicating the game to the players in a very efficient way, we think. We've noticed that when you write a lot of material, write long characters for players, they tend not to read it, or at least not to use it a lot in the lab. They can't remember everything that has been written to them, and that makes players LARP in many different directions. So what we try to do is to gather all the players at mandatory workshops, where we work with rehearsals of the LARP, basically. We try to test the elements of the LARP that is the most important, and we also allow the players to partake in the design of the LARP, so it gets to be a LARP that they want to play. So that's a very brief description of what a workshop is.
So what kind of workshops are you doing to your players? Can you give us some example?
Yeah, you can say that we have five or six different elements of the workshop designs that we do. Of course, we have a lot of information that needs to be transmitted. So the first part is basically just telling the players what the LARP they're going to play is about.
That's what we said before. This is the first one, telling to the players what you want to do them to play.
Yes, I would say that it's sort of boiling down the LARP you're making to which experience do you want the players to have. In some of the games I've made, if I can use some examples, at Capo, we told the players that this is a LARP about dehumanization, and we want you to go through three set psychological phases during the game. That is what you're going to play. At the Delirium, we told the players that this is a LARP about love in an insane asylum, and nothing else matters. You don't have to focus on the surrounding world, on your background, on your story. You only need to focus on what will happen during the LARP. So we consider it to removing all the bullshit that you don't need or won't actually use while playing, and only working with the elements that will be used in play. So that's the information part of the time with group building, we call it, which is about creating a safe atmosphere for the players, allowing the players to meet, allowing the players to touch each other, have fun together, so that we build a group who wants to play this LARP with each other and not just individually. And we do that by a lot of silly theater exercises, asking players to behave like penguins or flamingos or run around in different ways.
Yes, we tested that yesterday. It was quite strange, but quite funny.
Yeah, well, getting players to laugh, I think, is the most important part of the group building. After that, we work with character creation and relationship creation, culture creation, and this is the radical element of the way we do workshops in Denmark, at least, that the players co-design the LARP at the workshop. They themselves decide who to play, how to play, which inner life the character should have, and so on. Which means that we give a lot of design competence and power to the players instead of having it as organizers.
So you don't write any backgrounds for your players? They do it?
Yes, they make their characters at the workshops. We don't write anything to them. we make a homepage saying this is a lab about a prison camp where you will experience dehumanization, and we're going to use these tools for it, and so on, and you have to come to the workshop. And at the workshop we will design everything, and when you go home from the workshop you will be ready to play the lab. So that's the product we're selling, so to speak. So that's the third element of workshopping, designing your characters, your relationships, your cultures, the potential conflicts that you're going to have, and so on. Then we work with safety, player safety, in-game safety, off-game safety. We introduce tools that enable the players to stop scenes, the stop word, I guess that's well known everywhere. Defuck buddies, the person that you have to call when you come home from the lab or a week after the lab, to ensure that nobody is sitting at home in his or her apartment being sad or broken down or whatever. So we ask the players to call each other or call a certain other person so that we know that at least it will get discovered if something should go wrong.
Okay, so this is a kind of workshop after the game?
No, it's actually something we do at the pre-lab workshop.
Okay.
We tell them to find their defuck buddy, and then they do that after the game. So we don't facilitate when the game ends. We do it before, but we expect the players to do it afterwards.
Okay, so there is three parts of the game: before the workshop, the game, and then after you expect them to go further.
Yes. You can see that the workshop is preparation, rehearsal of the game. Then you have the actual game, and then you have the post-game experience as well. I think it's important to include the post-game experience into the design. When you think about how you're doing a lab, you need to think about what will happen after the lab ends. Because at least in the labs that I've made, I feel a certain responsibility that my players are feeling good afterwards, because we make very emotionally hard labs. And we don't want to hurt people. We want to give people tough experiences that allows them to try something new or experience new sides of themselves, but not to break them down.
What did the players tell you after the games? What have they experienced? Do they feel good? Did they like?
People generally like the games I'm making. They generally say that it was... I need to use specific examples, because the games are very different, of course. That Capo, for example, which was a prison camp lab, just told us that it was a horrible experience. It was very, very unpleasant being there. Many players were crying when they came out. It wasn't nice being in the game, but close to all of the players have also told us that they wouldn't be without this experience. So they wanted, or they liked, that they had this experience, even though the experience was not fun. And in the Nordic scene, we design a lot of games that aren't supposed to be fun at all. But instead trying to explore some new part of yourself, or having experiences that you wouldn't be able to have in real life, because you wouldn't want to behave this way in real life. You wouldn't want to you don't want to be dehumanized in real life, obviously, but it can be a very interesting experience to have. But if I'm getting back to the workshop design, a fourth element, or maybe fifth, I forgot, that's not that important, is working with meta techniques. If you introduce some sort of meta technique into the game,
Could you explain us what is
meta-techniques? Yes, it is, for example, tools for lovemaking in the lab, so that we don't actually have to have sex, but can use the what we do.
That's worse.
For lovemaking, we would introduce a tool called Asamandi, which is moving the point of sexual contact from the genitals to the arms. So by touching the arms, you communicate that you're not necessarily having sex, but you're having an intimate relationship or a love relationship. And this can be used in many ways. You can also use it for raping people or whatever you like. Basically, it's about intimate relationship with another person. So at the workshops, we will introduce these tools and people will test them, try them out. And it's my experience that if you don't test it or rehearse it at the workshop, people can't use them. And I think that's a general rule for a lot of stuff, that you need to actually rehearse what you're going to do during the LARP to be able to play the LARP in the way it's designed. And as we design LARPs for very specific experiences, it's highly important for us that the players do the right thing. Yes, I definitely think that you can use workshop elements in the labs you make. The workshop method, you can see it as a toolbox. And there's tools for different things in there. And I've talked to a lot of people here, and it's obvious to me that most of the labs being designed, most of the lab designers want to have control over the characters, for example. You want to write the characters for the players. But even though you write the characters, you can still use workshop methods for developing the characters, to give the characters more inner life. And even though you have written characters, you can use workshops to get the group of players together and get them to connect better with each other. So I definitely think that there's something to get from applying workshop techniques in French Lab as well.
Where can we find the toolbox?
That's a very good question.
I think you told me you had a website.
Yes, at workshophandbook.wordpress.com. I'm trying to gather as many techniques as possible and describing them so that they're usable by others. I don't know how usable they are, but I guess you can test that for yourself. At least you can see a lot of different methods there, sorted by what they're used for, how you can use them. So if it's a technique for group building, character creation, character development, safety, working with meta techniques or whatever, you can see it there. So my goal is to create a small database where you can sort of say, I need a method for making people laugh. And you could go there and say, okay, group building, oh, penguins and flamingos, that's probably going to work for me. Or if you want to work with the inner life of your characters, you can go there and say, okay, I want to work with character development. And you say, okay, an interview method, that might be an interesting way of developing characters. So I hope that it's a useful toolbox. It might be a bit hard to understand some of the exercises without actually trying them first, which is why I like to do these pre-lab workshops.
Okay.
Because it's a lot easier facilitating an exercise when you actually know what you're supposed to do, of course.
So maybe before organizing the lab, we should make a workshop just for the organizer, test the method and then...
I definitely think that's a good idea. Testing all the methods on yourself first, also getting comfortable with facilitating, which Well, it's a skill that you need to rehearse as well. So I think it would be a very, very good idea if you want to apply workshop methods to a game that you gather some people. It doesn't necessarily need to be the organizing team. It can just be friends, and you test out the methods on them and evaluate them afterwards. And in that way, you will be able to improve both your skill and which methods you should use.
Thank you.
Thank you.